Genesis, first book of the Bible, and we're going to go to chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, this is pretty much the beginning of the story of Abram, who will eventually become known as Abraham. And we're going to look at just primarily the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said, and in the King James it renders it, the Lord had said. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Look at the beginning of verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And we're going to look at some things out of those verses for just a little while this morning, and pray the Lord will be our helper. Well, if you read your Bible and you go throughout the Word of God, one of the things that you discover from Scripture is that the Lord calls people to Himself. The Lord calls people to Himself. Now, I was thinking about that this morning. I can't remember a time in my life that I did not believe that, but I only believed it when I was young in a very limited sense. Am and I were raised in church together, and we listened to the same preachers and lived under the ministries of the same group of men that came when we were children and stood before us and preached the Word of God. And I cannot remember a time as a child that I did not believe that those men who stood before us were called of God. We believe that God had called them to preach the Word of God, and we believe that God had called them to be our pastor and to serve our church. And we believe that they believed that they were called of God and that they were called to serve our church. And we believe that only those whom God had called and who God had laid His hand upon were those who were to be standing before us and preaching the gospel to us week by week by week by week by week. Now that, to us that are older, that doesn't seem like a strange concept. I think it's kind of changed a lot in the days in which we live. We just believe that our ministers had to be men who were called by God. We believe that, you know, they had to be men that God had called and equipped and that God had sent into the ministry. And we believe that those are the men that God had sent to us and that God had called to serve us and that God had gifted to preach the Word to us week by week. And there never was a time, I was thinking about that this morning, I don't know where I got that concept. I don't know where I learned that. I don't know whether I learned it by the language of the church I was raised in or whether I learned it just by the things that were taught in the church that I was raised in. But I always believed that those who were preaching the gospel to us week by week in the congregation that I was raised in, that they had to be men who were called of God. I also believe that only those who were called of God should preach. I believe that. I believe that growing up. I was taught that only those who were, you know, that God had laid His hand up on them and that God had sent into the ministry and that God had gifted, those were the ones. Not preaching in the sense of proclaiming the gospel message. Every Christian is supposed to do that. But I believe that there were those that God had laid His hand up on and that God had equipped to go and to preach, you know, to serve the congregation, to pastor the congregation, to proclaim the message of Christ in a unique way. So in that sense, I always believed in the call of God. I believed that God would lay His hand upon a man, that God would call a man, that God would equip a man, and that God would send a man into the ministry and into the work of Christ. But it wasn't until after God really got a hold of my heart and I began to study the Word of God that I begin to understand that every Christian is called, that no one comes to Christ unless God calls them, that God must call them, or in the language of the Bible, that God must draw them out of the darkness of this world into the light of Jesus Christ, that men don't come to Christ on their own. Now, as a child growing up in church, my concept was that, you know, that people just chose to be believers, or they chose to follow Christ, or they chose to come to Jesus, but then that God called people into specific ministries or into specific works that were for His glory and to serve Him. But after I become a Christian, after I begin to read the Bible, I begin to discover that there are two senses in which God calls people to Himself. That God calls people out of death into spiritual life when He saves them, and then that God calls people to particular works of service and ministry that God gifts them to. So there are really essentially two senses in which God calls people. He calls people who are dead in sin, He calls them to life. You know, like He called Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. That's what happens spiritually when someone is born again. God calls them, God draws them, God awakens them, God gives them life. And they come to Christ, but they come to Christ because Christ has called them. The Spirit of God has awakened them. The Spirit of God has given them life, imparted life to them, and now they can hear, and now they can feel, and now they can respond to the gospel because God has called them out of the deadness of this world, out of the hopelessness of this world, out of the sin of this world. God has called them to Himself, and they have been drawn and responded by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that sense, every Christian is called in that particular sense. But also we see in the Scripture that people are called to particular works of service for the glory of God and for service in the kingdom of God. For instance, Paul the Apostle. It's really, in a sense, it's really true that these two aspects of God's call are kind of joined, aren't they? Because would you agree with me that on the road to Damascus is when God made known to Saul of Tarsus that He had called him to salvation, right? He was saved on the road to Damascus. But remember that while he was there in his blindness and he was praying and God was going to send Ananias to him that he might recover his sight, remember what God told Ananias? He said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me that he will bear my name before the Gentiles." So there you have two aspects of that call. God called Saul of Tarsus to Himself in salvation, but God also called him to send him into the work of the ministry that God had chosen that he would do. And he was a chosen vessel unto God. Chosen to be a believer, chosen to be a child of God, but also chosen to serve in the capacity that God had ordained for him. In Acts chapter 13, we're told that in the church at Antioch, they were there, and they were seeking the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for this work that I have sent them to." They were called to a particular work. God is the one that called them. God is the one that equipped them. And God is the one that sent them to this work. So in those two senses, God calls people to Himself. God calls people to salvation. God calls people to service. God calls people to come to Him, to know Him, to love Him, to worship Him, to be His child, to be His servant. But God also calls people to serve Him in different capacities, and God gifts them and God equips them to do whatever it is that God has chosen for them to do. And this text that we're looking at this morning is about the call of Abram. It says that right above verse 1 in my Bible, the call of Abram. It's kind of a dark-faced heading to kind of tell us what we're about to read about, the call of Abram. Abram was called of God. God called him. God called him. And that's what I want us to consider in these three verses, some truths about the call of God that we see here in the story of Abram. But I think that we would have to say is true of every person that God calls to Himself. Now let's look at these things for a few minutes this morning. First of all, the call of Abram was personal, wasn't it? It says, the Lord said to who? Abram. The Lord said to Abram, it was a personal call. God spoke directly to him. Now let's think about this. God called him alone. God spoke to Abram. You ever heard someone tell about when God called Lazarus out of the grave, that Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? And you've always heard that. If he hadn't called him by name, every dead person in the world would have come forth when Jesus said, if Jesus had just said, come forth, all the dead would have come forth because he's God. But he didn't say, just come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave after being dead for 4 days. He called him by name. And here we're told that God spoke to Abram. God spoke directly to him and to him alone. He didn't speak to a group. He spoke to an individual. He spoke to a person. He didn't just speak to anybody out there listening. If anybody's out there listening, I'm calling. And if there's anybody that will hear and anybody that will respond, I'm just hoping someone can hear. No, he spoke to a person. He spoke to an individual. And the Bible tells us that that individual's name is Abram. It's not a general call, it's a personal call. Now let me try to communicate this to you. Whenever God calls someone to himself, especially in the sense of salvation, there is two senses in which God issues a call. First of all, there is that general call. And that general call is offered when the gospel is preached. When I preach what Christ has done for sinners, or when you preach what Christ has done for sinners, we invite people to respond to God's invitation, right? Whosoever will, let them come, right? Is that not the language of the Bible? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the language of the Bible. Come unto me, Jesus said, and be ye saved. There's all kinds of general invitations in the Bible, and we freely and fully proclaim those general calls of Scripture. Whosoever will, let them come. I would never go to someone and say, oh, you need to figure out whether God is calling you. No, we preach the gospel in all of its fullness and in all of its freeness. Whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. When I preach a gospel, when you preach a gospel, we are offering a general call. And that general call is absolutely necessary for someone to be saved because God has chosen to use the means of the message of Jesus Christ as the instrument by which he will convict people of their sins and call them out of darkness and into light. So we offer a general call. But do you understand, and you may not understand it when you're a young believer, but as you become an older believer and as you think about your own personal experience and as you study the Word of God, you begin to understand that that general call, as necessary as it is, will actually save no one. Because there must be an effectual call. A personal call. Yes, it's true that we would go out on the square in Glasgow today and we would yell to the world, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But it's also true that the Spirit of God must take the Word of God and issue a call to the heart. A call in the inner man. A personal call. A powerful call. An effectual call. And it's as true as it is that the general call must be issued, it is equally true that no one will respond savingly to God's call unless the effectual call takes place in the heart. And that is personal, isn't it? Just God, you know, God speaks to Abraham personally. He speaks to Abraham individually. In the book of Acts, we're told that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. Do you know that even though 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost, they were all saved personally, weren't they? They were all saved individually. They were not saved on a group plan. They were saved one by one as each one came to Christ, as each one believed in Christ, as the Spirit of God worked in each individual heart. They were saved personally. Years ago, I was in a prison and I asked a man if he was a Christian and he said, well, my granddaddy was. And I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but you don't get in on the family plan. You've got to know Christ personally. You've got to respond personally. You're not saved because your granddad was saved, and you're not saved because your granddad was a pastor. As much as I love my grandchildren, none of them will be saved because I'm saved. None of them will be saved because I preach. None of them will be saved because I pastor. They must meet Christ personally. God will have to deal with them personally, individually, and they must believe personally. God called Abraham personally. It's a personal call. God called him by name. God was, he wasn't shooting with a shotgun here. He wasn't just sending a message out into the world of Abraham's day and say, if there's anybody out there that will hear. No, he had Abraham's address. He had Abraham's phone number. He called him. He spoke to Abraham. Now, first of all, is it not amazing that God speaks to us at all? Is that not amazing that God would speak to me, that God would call me? God was dealing with him personally. Have you ever thought about how amazing it is that the creator of the universe would deliberately and intentionally speak to you personally? When the Bible said the nations are like the drop of a bucket compared to the greatness of the majesty and the immensity of God, and yet God would speak to me? That God would, you know, when I was young, that God would come to me as a child and convict me of my sins, that God would deal with me personally, that God would deal with me privately, that I could be sitting in a church service like this and everybody be sitting around me and the preacher be preaching and God be talking to me, God be speaking to me. What an amazing reality. God spoke to him personally. God spoke to him privately. It was not just a general call, but it was a personal call. God was speaking to an individual. And I'm going to tell you, if God is speaking to you as an individual, number one, you better realize what an unbelievable mercy that is. And you better listen when God calls. Secondly, this call to Abraham was personal. Secondly, it was clear. The Lord said, there's no ambiguity. God spoke to him. What is it to speak? It's to communicate, isn't it? To communicate something, to communicate information. We got a guy that I work with. And I love him. He's probably a little bit younger. I'm a little bit related to him. But every once in a while, I think he takes some stuff he shouldn't be taking. We'll be on a job site and you'll be trying to communicate with him and I can't understand a word he says. The other day we was up on a job and I was across the wall from him and he was talking and I just said, I have no idea what you're saying. I said, I have absolutely no idea what you're trying to tell me. And everybody was kind of laughing about it. The idea of speaking is communicating. God speaks to communicate. If God is speaking to you, He's communicating to you. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to reveal something to you. Notice, God spoke to Abraham. Communication from above. God from above was speaking to a man on earth. And notice, there's no ambiguity. He understood what God was saying to him. He was called, but he was in that call, he was unable to know what God willed, what God wanted. God can make his will clearly known to us. You've heard me tell the story about the preacher I used to, every time I'd go preach for him, the first words out of his mouth when I pulled up on the parking lot was, do I know of any churches needing a pastor? And I never had the courage to do it, but I always wanted to say, God has your address. And if he wants you to go somewhere else, he'll find you. He knows exactly where you're at. He can work it out. Because God can make his will known, can't he? God is able to make what he wants known to your heart, to your mind. God is able to make, God communicated. God in heaven spoke to Abraham on earth and let Abraham know what to do. God spoke, and God spoke clearly. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, I wouldn't do anything till I know. But let me tell you something, God can make you know, can He? I love this modern notion in the church that if we're not holding a sinner's hand and telling them what to pray, they can't get saved. Do you not think that the living God, do you not think that the living God can so communicate with a sinner's heart that the sinner will cry out to God and God will save the sinner? The living God needs us to take them by the hand and tell them what to pray to get saved. Come on. The living God can speak. It's amazing that He does speak to us, but He speaks. He communicates. He communicates through Scripture. He communicates through the work of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. He is able to let a person know what God wills for them, what God wants for them. And He's able to make it clear. He's able to make it plain. There are three things I know in this world. I know that God saved me. I know that God called me to preach, and I know that God sent me to this church. I'm absolutely certain. You might convince me that Bill Dean wasn't my dad before you could convince me that none of those things are true. God communicated those things clearly to me. By the way, you've heard me tell the story. I knew I was coming to this church before the church knew I was coming to this church. God made it plain. Never had this happen. I was driving down the road one night, right in the middle of the night. I was coming back from prison, and just clearly the thought came to my mind that Brother Bobby was going to leave this church. I told Kim about it. She said, Bobby will never leave that church. Within a week, I got a phone call. I came home, and Kim said, Marty Lyle called, and I don't know what he wants. I said, Bobby's left the church. That's how certain I was of it. I knew then I was supposed to be the pastor. God made it plain, so plain. Now, I didn't come here and tell y'all that. But I believe that if God could make me know, He could make you know. And He did. Right? God can make His will known. And that's what God did with Abraham. God spoke, and He spoke clearly. Number three, this call was pure grace. Absolute pure grace. Think about this. Is there any record that God spoke to anyone at that time like He spoke to Abram? No. There was a world full of people, but God called Abram. Now, not only that, think about this. Abram, a man, was called to know and serve the living God. Is that not grace? Abram, a man, was called to live in a relationship with the living God, the creator of the universe. Is that not grace? I'll give you one better than that. We're told in the book of Joshua that Abram was from a family of idolaters and pagans. And God reached into the life of a pagan idolater and spoke to him and called him and made him His own. Is that not grace? If you were to get on international TV and say something about Grover, no one knows who Grover is and no one cares. But if you just say Abraham, the whole world knows who Abraham is. Because of grace. A pagan idolater. His family worshipped other gods. His father, Terah, worshipped other gods, we're told, on the other side of the flood. We have to assume that Abraham was raised in paganism and idolatry. He didn't know God. He was as wicked as the rest of the world in which he was living in, and yet God called him. Didn't call anybody else the way He called him, but He called him. Didn't reveal Himself to anybody else the way He revealed Himself to him, but He revealed Himself to him. It's grace. Sovereign, free, amazing, wonderful, indescribable grace. Number four. This call upon the life of Abraham was a call to separate. He had to leave something. Verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He had to leave his country. He had to leave his kindred. He had to leave his father's house. What's that a picture of? When God calls us, He calls us to separate from certain things and to separate unto Himself. Now hear me this. If God calls you, He's calling you to leave this world. To walk away from this world. To walk away from this world system. To walk away from this world sin. To walk away from the way the world thinks, the way the world operates, the way the world functions. To turn from this world and to turn to Him and for Him to become supreme. That's what the call of God entails. To turn from the wickedness of this world, the sin of this world, the blindness of this world, the principles by which this world operates, the pride of this world, the lust for pleasure and the lust for money and the lust for the covetousness of this world. You understand, in the Ten Commandments we're told, you shall not covet. But you understand that covetousness has been turned into a virtue in our day and time instead of a vice? But we're called to turn from this, to live a different life, to follow God. Moses, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Wrap your head around that. Moses, who was basically adopted royalty in the land of Egypt, walked away from every bit of it to follow the living God. And we're told in the book of Hebrews that he did it because he was able to esteem that the reward of following Christ was greater than the treasures and riches in Egypt. He was called, Abraham was called to separate. He had to leave his country. He had to leave his kindred. He had to leave his father's house. He had to separate from them. And in separating from them, why would he have to separate from them? Because they were pagans. They were idolaters. He was called to live a whole new life. He was called to follow the living God. God could not just be a part of all the other things in his life. God must be truly God in his life. The problem with modern concepts of Christianity is that people have come to believe, and sadly preachers have come to preach that, you know, Jesus is just one more add-on in all the other add-ons in our life. Well, I've got all these little things that I love and all these little things that I worship, and what's wrong? I'll just add Jesus in the box with all the other things. He's just kind of one more hobby. And if I can work it in, I'll tip my hat toward him every once in a while. If I can work it in, you know, if I can work it in with all my other pleasures and all my other pursuits and all my other desires and all my other things, if I can just kind of work it in, I'll give Jesus a little nod of the head every once in a while because he'll be happy with that. No. The call of God is a call to separate, to turn from this world, to embrace a higher call and to live exclusively to God. To live exclusively to God. Doesn't mean you don't have a family. It doesn't mean you don't have many blessings in this life. But it means that there is only one on the throne of your heart. One. His call was a call to separate. Number five, his call was a call to faith. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Do you get that? Go, but I'm not telling you where you're going. He was to believe God and act upon it. Right? He was to sail a farm and hit the road, not knowing where the road was going. He was to step out because God had spoken, and to, he was basically to venture everything on the Word of God. He was going to risk everything because he'd heard God's voice. I'll never forget when God called me to go to the prisons. I know how absurd it sounded to people. I know how crazy it sounded to people. I got all kinds of stuff. How are you going to do it? How are you going to get in the prisons? How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to do it? But you know what? I finally wrestled with that, boy. People made me feel so foolish. People made me feel so ignorant for just believing what God had made plain to my heart. But you know, ultimately, when you've heard the voice of God, does any other voice really matter? When God has spoken and made His will plain, he was called to believe God and to act upon what God had spoken. He knew God's will, but he didn't know where God's will would lead him. Go, but I'm not telling you where you're going. Leave, but I'm not telling you where the road will end. Go, but I'm going to show you later your destination. But go. I've called you. I've laid my hand upon your life. I've spoken. Now you go. Go where I send you, but I'm not telling you exactly where I'm sending you yet. But you got to go today. Hard. No, it's not hard. It's impossible. Unless God gives you faith. He knew God's will, but he didn't know where it would lead to. He was to go without knowing where he was going. He was to live by faith in God. By the way, when God calls you, that's exactly how he calls you to live. To get up every day and say, Lord, here I am, send me. I'll live as you want me to live. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll trust you because you've never failed your people. You've never lied. You've never let us down. You've never made a mistake. I live by faith. I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to hear your voice. I just want to hear your voice. I don't have to know. I don't even have to know what tomorrow holds, as long as I can hear your voice and know that you hold my tomorrow. I live by faith. Number six, the call of God is a call to be blessed. I love this, what he says to Abraham in verse 2. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. So he called him to be blessed. God promised him blessing. And he couldn't fathom. At that point, there's no way he could fathom the depth and the ways in which God would bless his life. Now, these foolish, false teachers on television, they'll take a verse like that. What they'll do is they'll say, well, that means that God's going to make him rich and God's going to make him famous. God did indeed make him wealthy and God did indeed make him well known. But that's not the essence of the true riches that were given to Abraham. They were spiritual. Through him would come the Savior of the world. Through him would come the nation of people that God would use to bring forth his Son into this world to rescue a people for the glory of his own great name. I'm going to bless you. Do you think God has ever been a debtor to any man? Do you think God has ever called someone and then they obeyed the call of God and then they got down the road later and said, you know, God really let me down? Never. Never. Let me tell you, I'm 30 some years down the road and God has been faithful. God has been absolutely, utterly, and completely faithful. Let me say this to all you young people. There'll be things out throughout your life. They'll be snatching at you and grabbing at you and grabbing at you. Oh, this is you. You need to go down this road, and this is the way to happiness, and this is the way to blessing, and this is the way to greatness, and this is the way to wealth. Can I tell you, there is no life greater lived than the life that is laid at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, I will be whatever you want me to be. And you will find that to be a life of blessing. God will bless you. You say, but, you know, I read the Bible and I've met a lot of Christians who were suffering. Maybe it's not payday yet. Christians suffer. And Christians have difficult, trying lives. But can I tell you, there will be nobody that obeyed the call of God that will stand in the presence of Jesus and say, I was the loser thereby. None. Number seven, the call of God is a call. Number six, to be blessed, but it's also a call to be a blessing. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Do you want to be a blessing? In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God would make him a blessing. God promised him blessing, and then God promised to make him a blessing. God promised that he would pour out blessing upon him, and then God promised that he would pour blessing through him. And he couldn't understand the degree to which God would make him a blessing. Yet God will make those who obey a blessing to others. Through this man would come forth a nation of people that has blessed the earth. And the full measure of what is said there is that God would take Abraham, who would hear the call of God and respond to the call of God. He would take Abraham, and through him he would bring Jesus Christ into this world, the only Savior of sinners. And you know that every man, woman, boy, or girl that will one day be in the presence of God because of what Christ has done for sinners will have to go to Abraham and say, God made you a blessing to me. You want your life to count? Hear the call of God and obey it. You want your life to bring blessing to the lives of other people? Hear the call of God and obey it. Do what God calls you to do. Respond to God's dealing in your heart. How did he respond? Look at verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. God spoke to him and he went. He obeyed. That's all any of us are to do, is to go where God sends us, to do what God tells us, to respond to God's call, to hear the voice of God as God speaks to you, and to say, I'll obey. I'll go. God called Abram, and God calls sinners out of the darkness of this world to himself. But then God calls sinners to serve him in different places and circumstances. If you go out there on that board, every one of those missionaries that we support, there's only one thing I look for when they come in, when they come into this church and they get up in front of us and they tell about what they're going to do. There's only one thing I'm asking God to help me to discern. Have you called them? Have you called them? Are they going because they've been called? And I'll tell you what, if I can discern that, I'm all in. I want to help them. When we went to missionary service for those few years, first week we went, they made us all, there was like 10 families that were there at this training thing, and they made us all get up in front of the other families and tell about how we came to sense or to know that God had called us or that we were supposed to go to the prisons. Each family had to get up, you know, and do it. But one family couple got up, and here's essentially what this young man said. I can still remember his name. I can still see his face. He essentially said in so many words, well, my pastor, I love my pastor, and God called him to come with this ministry and to go to the prisons, and that's why I'm here. And I'll never forget sitting there thinking, he's in trouble. I'll never forget it. I remember so clear, I think, he's in trouble. He's left Michigan, he's drug his family down here to Tennessee to do something following his pastor, and he has no sense that God has called him. He's just trying to follow his pastor. You know what happened? I watched it for 2 years. This man and his family never could raise any financial support. Every door shut in their face. And it was like a 2-year nightmare. And finally they had to give up and go back to Michigan, where they never should have left because they weren't called. Go where God calls you. Do what God calls you to do. And if you're here and you've never been born again, and God is speaking, calling, respond to the call. Run to Christ. Submit yourself to Christ. Believe on Christ. But understand, but he's not going to be just one more hobby in your list of hobbies. He's Lord. But he's the sweetest Lord that anyone has ever bowed the knee to. He is the sweetest king that anyone ever mounted up and rode off to battle for. And he will bless your life and make your life count for eternity. To be used of God, as small and as insignificant as we are, to be used of God in his sovereignty and grace and in his wisdom and providence, to be a tool in his hand that one soul might be saved from an eternal hell, is of more importance than if you could save the world from some great earthly calamity. Because what would it profit a person if they gained the whole world and lost their soul? I was watching this Western one time. It was Clint Eastwood Western. A young guy killed someone. He'd never killed anybody, and he was deeply affected by having taken a human life. Clint Eastwood's character says, it's a funny thing about killing someone. He said, you take away from them all that they have and all that they'll ever have. You understand that to lose your soul is to lose all that you have and all that you'll ever have. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. I pray that you will speak in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Help us as only you can help us. Draw as only you can draw. And we'll give you the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.